six vehicles have been destroyed in an arson attack at a garage in Carrickfergus. It happened in the early hours of yesterday morning at Dunlop Motors on Woodburn Road in Carrickfergus. It's not the first attack on the business. The business owner, Joe Dunlop, is with us this morning. Joe, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for talking to us. Tell us, first of all, what happened.
I got a call to the house to say that the vehicles had been attacked again. When I went down the next morning, seen the damage. I actually took a hot clean out of me.
And what did you see when you got there, Joe?
Six burnt out cars. Say that a building destroyed. Again, near the fuel pumps. So there's no regard for anybody. Not even the people, local people live across the road.
And I guess they're sending a signal.
Yes, yes, and again, last night, more death threats delivered again to the house. They're actually trying to get me out, but I'm not going nowhere. Stay put.
So you're going to stand up to them?
I'll stand up to them, but I'm not running away from them.
Do you know which paramilitary group this is?
They say it's not them, but everybody in the town knows it's them.
Who?
The UDA. Safety Stanton.
So what we have here is a situation... Well, first of all, this isn't the first situation. 4 weeks ago, you were attacked before, weren't you?
I was, yes. Another, I think it was five, six cars burned again.
So in modern-day Northern Ireland, here we have a stark challenge for the police and for society. So here we have these thugs openly, blatantly sending us all a message, which is they rule the roost, they will intimidate, they will decide which business owners they put out of business. How much support are you getting back from law-abiding, decent people?
I was really surprised. I couldn't believe it. Unbelievable. Even this morning, they're still getting text messages from people saying it's not stopping us coming to see you. It's not stopping us getting our cars fixed at your place. We don't agree with these ones, but they're too scared to speak out against them.
Yeah. Why aren't you frightened? Maybe you are.
Well, they've already given me two death threats, so the way I got it, a dead is dead, really.
Are you frightened, Joe?
Frightened, Yes and no. Yes, frightened for my family, but it's just a thought of hiding under a rock just doesn't measure up.
Big decision to speak out against them.
A big, big decision, yes.
What do you say to them?
As I said to the reporters yesterday, it's 2018. It's not 1980. Move on. Let the people live in their town. Let them enjoy their town.
And the police, have they been supportive?
They have, yes. I can't fault them. They're doing their best, but they only do their best through the law. They know who these boys are. I was even given their names. But it's nothing to do because there's no proof.
Well, have you passed those names on to the police?
The police already had them.
Well, how do you know?
Because they told me.
What did they tell you?
They told me there's ongoing investigations into certain people in the town that's controlling this.
Well, now, you see, I find that very interesting. And I'll tell you why. So let's not sanitise or, you know, make Northern Ireland a different place. So think of a crime that happened in leafy Surrey or Dorset or anywhere else across the water, right? If the police said to someone, look, you've been the victim of crime, we have the names of certain suspects, I'll tell you what would happen. Those suspects would be arrested or they would certainly be invited in for interview.
Yes, that's right. That's right, same here, and released. Not enough evidence to hold them.
So what we need to be, what I guess the question that we need to ask the police is, if they have the names of people, where's their show of strength? I understand that evidence is difficult, but are they even going to interview the people they have the names of?
Yeah.
Or are these paramilitary thugs going to walk around the town?
Believe it or not,
doing whatever they want to do.
They're just actually, I see them every day when I'm in work. They're going in out the garage, smiling, and what can you do? Just have to look at them.
Here's Brian in West Belfast. Morning, Brian.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, you had a program on it not so long ago talking about the word paramilitaries. And I remember being on saying, that's changed things. That's, call it what it is, the media, the press and so forth. Call them what they are, gangsters. Get rid of the word paramilitaries. And I, what annoys me too is certain individuals come on your program and sometimes don't use the right words. They make excuses for them. I think you know who I'm talking about, but there's certain individuals who wouldn't necessarily condemn it, but condemn it in a different way instead of coming out and calling it what it is. So my point being, really, is I would hope that the media, press and so forth would get rid of the word, get rid of that word paramilitaries. It's gangsters. Call it what it is. It reminds me of in a film Goodfellas when a young lad torched all the cars. It's the same thing. And they were gangsters. You know?
Are you going to open up your business again, Joe? Stay there, Brian.
Yes, I am indeed. Yes, Brian, I agree totally with what Brian was saying there.
Yeah.
They call themselves loyalists. They're not loyalists.
They're just out for themselves. We all know, we all know that. They're coming under this umbrella of where the apartment we protect the people. I feel sorry for the certain areas where you live where people can't come out and speak out, the fear of getting their houses burned and so forth.
They're just thugs, gangsters.
Well, that's what we should use from now on when we're talking about anything that happens on all sides of the debate. All sides. I'm not talking about one side here, by the way. Gangsters.
Yes, no, I agree totally. Try to control everybody.
I've said it many a time that I do feel, honestly, I wouldn't like to live in certain areas. I would probably go into debt and borrow money to leave. And certain people can't do that. But I read it every week in the especially Sunday papers of what's going on in the areas. You know, I'm not saying where I live is perfect, by the way. I mean, but I feel sorry for the people who live in these areas who can't move out but fear. They can't say what they want to say with these gangsters, not paramilitaries.
Well, again, Carrick's getting a bad name for a handful of thugs because Carrick is a lovely town and they're lovely people. And I can't fault the people in the town. It's just a certain handful, which are, as you say, thugs and gangsters.
I know, it's terrible, but where you live, the people in Carrickfergus, are they going to have even a happy Christmas? The fear of what... they're hearing that they can't go out, they have to be in their house at 10 o'clock, in certain areas, 10 o'clock at night, they're afraid of going out and bumping into certain people and getting their cars stolen and so forth. You know, terrible way to live. Terrible, these people.
Terrible way. Again, it's only small pockets.
I know that, you know. And it's all to do with money.
That's all it is.
Money for fill their pockets and their lifestyles. And they've got so much money and anything happens, they can't leave it. They can't leave that lifestyle. They have to stay in other ways.
If they can't get it, they'll beat people to get it.
Well, I can see that the PSNI, the police, have told the BBC those responsible have shown no regard for the safety of the local community in carrying out this reckless act. This is Inspector Michael Simpson. I do think it's a fair and obvious question. If we have Joe this morning saying that the police told him that there are persons of interest, are they going to be interviewed? I don't know anymore. I just don't. 0-30-30-80-55-55. Joe, thank you. Brian, I can detect a frustration in your voice and the, you know, beyond this story about just the, I guess, the yeah, grip and the power that these thugs still have over us.
Stephen, can I give you one example? And that meant there's a certain area where block of flats, and there's outlets below the flats. There's five on a certain corner, by the way. I'll name it on the corner.
No, let's not.
Okay. Well, there's six outlets on the other side. This apartment's been there for 20 odd years. These outlets were really to start businesses, shops, and so forth. There's not one of those places open. And it's well over 20 odd years since that was built. They were built, obviously, for businesses within the area. Not one of those outlets. The shutters have been down, never opened. The shutters never opened. I think one...
Well, what's that got to do with paramilitaries?
Well, the people couldn't move. What I'm saying, the stranglehold they have on these areas, they can't. People wanted to start business. The first person who opened the shutter was approached to have to pay for tax and money. And then not one business was open. What I'm saying is the hold they have in these areas, no, they can't. People, I mean, that would have helped at the unemployment in that area, you know. But no, they have no thought of that. All they're interested in is themselves. No, they say they're for the people. It's a big joke. So I'm just giving an example, you know, that the stranglehold they have on areas within where these people live, and people want to start a business and they can't because they've been asked for tax money. And we all know that. I read it. I've been reading these stories for the last 15, 20 years in papers, and they still have that stranglehold. People are afraid to talk, afraid to speak out, and the police know that too. And that's, I mean, if you want to, if you want to come off, I come off there, I'll ring you later on about this place I'm talking about, and I'll let you know.
I can see here an email that someone sent to me just within the last few minutes, and they're saying paramilitaries are alive and well, thriving in Northern Ireland. In fact, says this emailer, come to Donaghcloney and look at the UVF flags flying all year round. It's a disgrace of a country, says this person on email this morning.
And there's people who want to speak out that particular area there. There's people who want to speak out and say, no, you shouldn't fly those there, no, all year. Fly one a week of a year, but now they can't. They're afraid, Stephen. They're afraid. You know, that's the power they have. So, you know, it's terrible. You know, and it's not going to, well, as far as I know, it's not going to change for the foreseeable future.
Tough for the police, though, to try to prosecute if they don't have, have evidence.
Well, I mean, as far as I can see, the evidence is there, you know, that, I mean, I'm sure there's people that have went to the police and given the innocent, so and told them they've did. And these people are still walking the streets.
Yeah.
So we have to ask a question.
Well, there have been initiatives. I just can't, my memory's bust these days, but there have been initiatives that the police have been doing. I've read reports of what the police have been doing with different paramilitaries and trying to bring some of them to task over recent times. So it's not like the police have been doing nothing, to be fair to them.
Oh, no, Stephen, I've seen reports. I read the paper. I've seen reports where they're this task force, and they're really doing good work and getting these people off the street and getting their fancy cars and getting their bank books and so forth. You know, I've seen them on read in the papers and seen them on the news. They're not sitting back and doing nothing, Stephen. They're pretty far from it. But there's situations where they feel they can't take people off the street, certain individuals, you know, right, causing more trouble, and that's probably the way they look on it. You know, so and that's it all parts of this place that happens in. I mean, there's things happening in my eye where I live, but I mean, it's not. I mean, I'll say it's not as bad as certain areas in Lawless areas. You know, I mean, I've been honest about that because I've lived here all my life. You know, and I tell you one thing: when things like that are happening, the people come on the streets. I've seen that happening in this area here, where people say enough's enough. And I remember one time the people in the Shankill tried to do that as well, and they were actually stopped from doing it. They were told not to. And that's the stranglehold they have over these areas. These, well, sure, I'd say gangsters.
Peter Sheridan used to be a senior police officer. He's with Cooperation North now, Ireland, Cooperation Ireland, sorry. And he said last week that maybe we should stop calling these people, it was last month, wasn't it, paramilitaries.
Yeah.
Just call them organised criminals. We've had a caller today saying, just call them what they are, thugs, gangsters.
Yeah. The sooner we get away from labelling, I mean, paramilitary to me is that thing, you get on a uniform and you fly, you walk around, you're called to attention and so forth, but we've seen on our TVs all down the years. You know, that's what they do, but okay, they can still do that there, but call them gangsters. Instead of saying the paramilitaries were on the road today marching up and down, but call them what they are. Gangsters were marching up and down this road, not paramilitaries. Those days are gone.
Brand, thank you. When? Tom in Belfast. Morning, Tom.
Hello.
Go ahead, Tom.
Surely what's happening here is that we have the outworkings of the Good Friday Agreement playing a full hand in our daily lives now. And that the police, as one of your previous callers stated, are unable to take actions against certain people in case it upsets the apple cart and would allegedly would derail the Good Friday Agreement. And if that gentleman, Sheridan, he mentioned the policeman, would come on the radio
here. Peter Sheridan, former police officer, was saying, look, let's not call them paramilitaries anymore. These people are thugs. They're gangsters. They're criminals. I think criminals was the word he used.
It doesn't make a matter what you call them. Mr. Sheridan, if he would come on, should be able to tell the truth and tell you that when he was active within the police, there was certain times...
Well, no, Tom, we have to stop you there. I'm sorry. You know, what we need to deal about today is facts, all right? And not just start throwing out allegations about people. Peter Sheridan's an upstanding member of our community who is as much against any of these thugs and the thuggery and always has been as any of the rest of us. Wayne and Warren Point. Morning, Wayne.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, basically, yes, this is always an ongoing situation and it's always tied to politics because Sinn Féin's in bed with somebody and the DUP is in bed with somebody else, but despite that fact, it's up to the people for one time in their lives where they decide what they're going to do. Are they going to take back their own country of Northern Ireland? Are the unionists and the nationalist people going to join together to bring the country back together, to force the likes of these out of all communities? Are we going to stand...
Well, the answer to that, Wayne, is no. The answer to that's no. And you know it.
Because they haven't got the backbone. They don't have the backbone.
Well, that's not fair.
It is fair. There's pundigus.
Okay, come on. You need to be realistic.
There's 1.6 million people in the whole of Northern Ireland. The people should get together and wouldn't even be in the same situation again with no government.
Wayne.
It's up to the people to take a stand.
Wayne. People are not going to take a stand openly.
But they're afraid.
Exactly. That doesn't mean they don't have backbone. That means that it's all very well taking a stand and then in the middle of the night you get a petrol bomb through your window. It's all very well taking a stand. You're walking down the street and one of these scumbags hits you with a brick over the head.
Stephen, what is the idea of the police force? There must be some way we can do it. And we're really going to be held in this modern day and age by two governments who have no control over it, and the paramilitaries are, sorry, the gangsters are running riot on both sides. And not just on the loyalist side, they're running both sides of the fence, and because we have no government, no stability, they're making people's lives miserable in some areas. It's wrong. And this boils down to having no government, no support. You were on this last 2 days, even regarding PIPs, because there's nothing there to fight for the people. This all boils down to we have no government, no help for the police force, we have no nothing. And while they're out of government, these people can run riot. And they are lining their pockets on the mercy of both sides of the community. It's simple.
Man, look, I'm not going to have a way to fight with you today, but what you're saying just isn't, it doesn't bear any type of scrutiny. So can I tell you why?
Why?
You're saying these people are running riot because we didn't have a government. They were running riot when we did have a government.
I know, but...
You know, these paramilitaries have been collecting protection money. They have been intimidating people when we had a government.
Yeah.
But so, you know, we need to be very, very careful that we start looking through rose-tinted glasses and you know, when we had a government in Northern Ireland, we had RHI. When we had a government in Northern Ireland, we had all of that SIF stuff. When we had a government in Northern Ireland, we've had lots of different things where there are certainly questions to be asked as to the control of our money, as to the control of decision making. So that's nothing to do with paramilitaries, but you know, let's not look at a government as if we had a perfect government here. And then on the paramilitaries, when we had a government here, you know, protection money was still being lifted.
Yes, but the two bodies that are in government are mainly connected to paramilitaries.
No.
No, Wayne.
We can't. You know, again, the DUP would very much distance themselves from that. Sinn Féin would say that they're a law-abiding political party with a political mandate. Alex in Lisburn. Morning, Alex.
Morning. I just listened to the last caller and I can understand his frustration. I mean, a lot of callers say they read about the loyalist paramilitaries in the paper. And maybe we should stop paying the papers that run them. We're inclined. The local Sunday tabloids are inclined to glamorise them. And you're talking
Sunday tabloids would very much
deny
that and would say they don't glamorise them. What they do is pursue them. But let's talk about what do we do. My goodness, some of the reporters that have reported on these stories on paramilitaries have been attacked, for goodness sake. That's not glamorous in any way.
What
do we do about them? How do we sort them?
It's going to take years. You know, the police have a problem, but they need evidence. It's not just enough to say to some police, it's Billy Johnson down the road. If you're not prepared to make a statement of what you saw, that's the problem. You just can't arrest people on a bit of intelligence. Because the other thing, Steve, you're saying, why don't they arrest these people? If you arrest somebody who's an experienced paramilitary, he's not going to speak. It's not like Columbo. He'll throw the hand and say, "Okay, Gov, you've got me." And the problem is, he then comes out at the police station after a couple of days, knowing what you know, knowing how much you know about him. Whereas before that, he didn't really know. So
what do we do? Are we screwed? Can we not beat these people?
Screwed. But I think to an extent, on the Republican side of the House, on the Republican side, people voted for Sinn Féin, and I think the party, Sinn Féin, entered democratic politics. Unionists have never embraced loyalist paramilitaries. They're always on the fringes. And I think they've never been under any pressure to clean up their act. And I think what you have in Carrick, you have extremes. But you also, you're saying about politics and paramilitarism. I mean, you have that whole SIF thing. Where'd that money go? What community was that money aimed at? Who was the money being distributed by?
Well, this programme asked many questions around the actual process of where the money went.
What's the background of the people who distributed the money?
The background of some of those people, some of those people may have had a past, but look at some of the projects that actually happened where the community very much benefited from some of those good projects. What just comes to mind, Alex, before we leave this? Do you remember this, what's it called? Unexplained Wealth Order. Do you remember that? Where there is a piece of legislation now where if someone is spending money and it's clearly beyond their means, there's a law now in Northern Ireland, it's throughout the UK actually, and I'm pretty sure it's called the Unexplained Wealth Order.
I think it's going through court.
Let's not talk about anything that's going through court. But there is an Unexplained Wealth Order, and essentially what that means is if you've got somebody and they are spending money, or they're buying things. Maybe they've bought a big house, a big car, or their lifestyle suggests, my goodness, there's money about that person. If they can't explain where they're getting it from, the authorities now have the power to go in and make them prove where they've got it from. And if they can't, the onus is on them. And if they can't prove where they've got it from, then they lose their assets. Now, I don't know, and we'll ask ahead of tomorrow. We'll try to find out for you all how many of those wealth orders have actually been implemented in Northern Ireland? How many loyalist and Republican scumbag paramilitaries have been taken out in terms of their wealth by those wealth orders? And let's see just what the statistics say. Alex, thank you very much.
Not at all.
Thank you. Morning to you.